What's up? Welcome to episode 80 of the Generators Podcast with me, Trent McClellan. And wow, thanks for tuning in to all these episodes. Took a little break last week, but got a special one for you this week. It's going to be me just recounting an important moment in my life for episode 80. And I thought it would be a cool thing to share with you folks, because as a stand-up comedian, I've probably talked a little bit about my first time ever on stage and how I eventually found the courage to get on stage. But what I have not talked about, which I think is equally as important, is the decision I made to do stand-up full-time. The decision to leave real life, I guess, in many regards, and leave 9-to-5 world and become a stand-up comedian full-time. So that's the story I'm going to share with you today, and if hopefully you get something out of it and you can apply it to your life, and maybe there's some similarities for you if you've went on to follow what you felt you were meant to do in life, or if you haven't done it yet, maybe there's some stuff in here for you. But I thought it was a story worth sharing. And it's one that I haven't told very often, to be honest. And I it just occurred to me recently that I have not shared it with the world a whole lot. So I think I think it might be of some value to you. So let me take you back to 2003, I moved to Calgary, Alberta from Newfoundland. I'd lived in Newfoundland my entire life. I was 30 years old when I moved. Thought that my kind of career prospects had kind of dried up back in Newfoundland, and it was time to make a change. So I moved to Calgary in 2003, very little money. Moved to Calgary, lived with a good friend of mine, Paul Collins, and his wife, Lenora, for a couple of months. They were nice enough to take me in and lend me their truck and let me drive around town and figure out my way and find a job and stuff. And I got a job at the Boys and Girls Club in Calgary. And previously in Newfoundland, before I left, that's what I'd been doing, working with kids in like after school programming and summer day camp type stuff. I'd worked at the Froude Avenue Community Center for a bunch of years in Newfoundland and worked at the Boys and Girls Club in Newfoundland as well. So I moved to Calgary and I thought, wow, I'll just look for jobs in that world. And hopefully at some point I'll get the courage to try and get on stage at some point and go to an amateur night or whatever and try and go on stage and just see what happens. So that was the plan. So I had no job lined up when I get on the plane to go to Calgary in 03. So I land, and as I said, I'm staying with my friends, Paul and Lenora, and I finally get my own place, and I had a couple roommates that from Newfoundland who'd moved up as well. Doug Campbell, Andrew Sears, another friend of mine, Damian Lee, moved in. So we had three or four of us is living in this house. We're making very little money. Some of the guys didn't even have jobs yet. You know, we're just like, it's money's tight. And we don't have cable. We're just playing PlayStation and having fires in the fireplace every single night and just watching the fire and telling old stories. And that was pretty much all we had. A lot of hope, I guess, and faith, but we had no real big plans, except like we'll figure it out somehow. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we'll all find our way, I guess, up here, right? Well, it's got to be jobs here somewhere and careers and future and stuff. So by this time, I'm working at Boys and Girls Club in Calgary. And I eventually, as I said before, I find a way to go to amateur night and go on stage. And so what my life looked like basically was I would work at Boys and Girls Club from Monday to Friday. And I would work, you know, anywhere from 40 to 50 or 60 hours a week, depending on what was going on during a given week, along with the staff there who worked incredibly hard. And I would then do gigs on the weekend. So after I get on stage for the first time, the bookers who start doing gigs around Western Canada, you know, on tour gigs where you just go play one nighters in small towns or whatever, and some club shows in different cities around the country. And corporate shows as well. So like, you know, a company or an association would hire you as the entertainment for a holiday party or whatever they had going on, some conference, whatever. So I was, you know, doing some of those on the side. And but basically what a week looked like normally would be Trent would work from Monday to Friday at a Boys and Girls Club. And then on a Friday, normally I would then get in my car and drive to wherever Western Canada. I mean, I'm talking Quesnel. I'm talking Colehurst, Coronation, Bonnyville, Fairview, some of these places you may have heard of. Many of them, I'm sure you have not. And some were towns, some were villages, literal villages. And I would go off to do these gigs on Friday and Saturday. I would drive back on Sunday and then go back to work Monday morning at Boys and Girls Club. I did this for 3 years. That was my life for three solid years. And I remember coming back on Sundays, and quite often I'd be driving with another comedian, you know, and it would be a comedian who's been doing it full time, who has no other job. This is what they do. They're just a stand-up comedian. And I remember driving back, and I would say to them, you know, what are your plans for the rest of the day or for the rest of the week? And they're like, oh, I don't know, man. I'm going to like go back, take a nap, you know, on a Sunday, take a nap, maybe watch the football game or hockey game. Tomorrow, I'm going to go hit the mall, do some shopping. I'm going to, you know, maybe go to the gym, work out. And meanwhile, I'd be like, oh, that sounds amazing. I got to go to a meeting and I got to run a program for kids and I got to get this paperwork done and I got to, and all these things I had to do, you know, with Boys and Girls Club. Now, I should know the Boys and Girls Club was very, very supportive of me in terms of my time at Boys and Girls Club, but also very supportive of my stand-up comedy career. Many of them had come out to shows. I mean, like some of the staff that I worked with and some of my peers, but also some of the higher ups in terms of management had come out. So they were very supportive of my stand-up comedy career and, you know, very, very positive. And we even did some fundraisers, I think, in the community with stand-up comedy and put on some shows and raised money for the Boys and Girls Club and for different charities and stuff there. So they couldn't have been more supportive as an employer, you know, for me doing this thing that just, you know, when you look at it on paper, it's outrageous. You know, it's outrageous that you do stand-up comedy part-time. Like, who does that? I'm sure for most of them, they're like, they never met someone who does that on the side. Like, really? This is what you do? You work with kids and people in the community all week, and then you go do that on the side? Like, what? So I'm sure it must have been pretty insane for them now that I look back on it all those years ago. And so that's what I was doing. So basically, it was 7 days a week I was working because I would do the Boys and Girls Club thing for 5 days. And then I would be, you know, driving 8, 9, 10 hours to get to a gig on a Friday or a Saturday. And then I had to drive back to Calgary on Sunday, try and get some rest and go to work and get a Boys and Girls Club on Monday. So this was my life, you know. And I mean, like, I remember one run of doing like Sparwood, BC on a Friday. So drive like 4 hours or whatever it was, or 3 hours to Sparwood, BC and Southern BC. And then the next day on a Saturday, I had to be in Bonnyville or Cold Lake, Alberta, which is like Northern Alberta, and drive like 9 hours or 12 hours back the other way to get to Bonnyville or Cold Lake from Sparwood, like in the middle of December, and driving in terrible weather. It was insane. But I love stand-up so much. I was like, I was just like, I just want to get on stage. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I could think about was like, tonight I get to get back on stage again and get that adrenaline and make people laugh. And I would be thinking about new lines I could use for my act, or, you know, something new happened to me that week. I can kind of slip that into my act and see if that works. And so just constantly thinking about it all the time and trying to build my act and kind of expand the time, you know? So it was like an obsession. And I've heard people talk about that, about, you know, when you find that thing that you love at the end of the day, it becomes an obsession. It's all you think about. It's the focal point for almost all your thoughts, you know? And that's what it was like for me. So that's the cycle I'm in for 3 years. And I remember in the early days of this cycle of me just doing shows on weekends while still working at Boys and Girls Club during the week, sometimes the office that set up the gigs for me would call and say, Trent, you need to come by and pick up your paycheck. You haven't come by to pick up your check from the gigs you did like 3 weeks ago. Because I would forget that I was supposed to get paid for these gigs because I was having such a good time. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, we get paid, right? For that. Oh yeah, I got, because I had a day job, so I was making a little bit of money. And I was like, oh yeah, that I forgot. I'm going to slide by and pick up the check for the show that I did. That's great. And so I would then go by and get this check and be like, oh yeah, right on. Awesome. So again, this is my life for 3 years and it was getting old. Like I was getting tired. I wasn't getting any time to hang out with like my normal friends because I was never going to see them. I was not around on weekends. I was going to be gone doing shows in God knows wherever and then working during the week. So I had no social life really. I was just fully immersed in these two worlds of working with kids and adults in the community and then doing these shows on the weekend. So I was starting to hit the end of my rope, you know, and I just envied these people who could just do stand up full time. To me, I saw that as just making it. Like if I can just be a comedian full time, I don't care about how much money I make. As long as I make enough to pay my bills, I'm like, I will have made it. That will be, the sun will rain down over me and it'll be like, congratulations, you did it. You're now a full time comedian. You can say you're one of those people. That's all I thought about. And as I said, I was hanging out with comedians who were doing it full time. And it just seemed like a more, you know, a more enticing life to just have that freedom to just be creative full time and create your own days and to not have a boss. And all these things just appealed to me in a major way, just how I was wired. And so often in stand-up, I had to turn down dates quite often because I'd get offered shows, but I would be like, it'd be midweek out of town. And I'm like, I can't do it because I got a day job, so I can't head out. I remember I got invited to do a festival in Canmore. I think it was called the Rocky Mountain Comedy Festival. I think it only lasted like a year, 2 years maybe. And I got to do shows in it with a bunch of my other comedian friends. And after the show on a Friday or whatever, or a Thursday night or something, I drove to Canmore, which is like 1 hour from Calgary. And I got to go out, did the show, but all the other guys who were full time got to stick around and have beers and hang out and tell stories. And I had to get back in my car and drive back because I had to go to a meeting the next morning at Boys and Girls Club. So I was like, oh man, it'd be so awesome to stay in the mountains and just like hang out with all these other comics and, you know, just talk about being comedians, talk about road stories and gigs and jokes and help each other write jokes and all that stuff. I just thought it would be the best thing. So a lot of times I had to pass up gigs. So at least this one I got to go to, but a lot of other ones during the week I just couldn't do. And so this was wearing on me, you know, like big time. And so eventually I get to a point, I think it's maybe the beginning of summer in maybe 06 or 07 maybe or something. And I get offered a gig back in Newfoundland. It's actually a tour. And I think it might have been like myself, Pete Susie, and John Sheehan. And Pete calls me, he's putting the tour together, and he's like, hey, here's the dates I'm thinking about doing. I'll be back in Newfoundland during this time. What do you think? And I went, oh my God, I would love to do this. It's like multiple shows. And again, hanging out with other comedians and you're just doing this tour. It's going to be promoted and back in my home province and my hometown. So I was like, oh, I would love to do this. But the problem was I didn't have any vacation time left to take time off to go do this tour back in Newfoundland. And so I said, I'll have to get back to you about the offer to do the shows. So I talked to my boss at the time at Boys and Girls Club. And I said to her, I said, you know, I got this offer to do this stand-up tour and I'd really like to do it, but I don't have any vacation time left. And I'm wondering if there's a way we could work this so that I could go do it. And she was like, you know, it's a great opportunity for you. Unfortunately, yeah, you don't have any vacation time left. And we can't just justify you just going away for a week or whatever it was going to be, a week and a half to do these shows. So I don't know what to tell you, you know, like we can't swing it for you, unfortunately. So you're gonna have to make a choice. And so it was one of those moments in your life where you're like, all right, like I gotta figure something out here. Like I've come to a crossroads in my life. And sometimes you don't set the crossroads up yourself. They just kind of appear. As you're going down a road, all of a sudden there's just a crossroads. Like there's the road you're on and there's another road that's crossing the road you're on. And you got to choose, all right, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go straight? And I had to think long and hard about it because I loved working at Boys and Girls Club. The staff were great. My boss was great. And it was the first time I had, you know, like I was making a little bit of money. It wasn't a lot, but it was making a little bit. I had RSPs. I had stuff that people want in their life. They want, like, you know, job security and these things. And so I had to think, like, oh God, what do I do? Do I do this tour that's only going to last like, you know, 6-7 days and then it's done? Am I going to give up my job to do a tour for 7 days? Like, what do I do after that? Like, if I quit my job, what do I do after the 7 days of the tour is over? So thought long and hard about it. And I don't know why something in me just said, you need to quit your job and go do this tour and then go on to be a comedian full time. This is the thing you've always wanted. Yeah, you don't have a ton of money and you don't have a ton of money saved, but this is what you've always wanted. Stop making excuses and go chase this thing you say you want to chase, you know? Enough bullshitting, let's go. And so that's what I did. I told my supervisor, I appreciate all you guys have done and how supportive you've been, but I think it's time for me to go chase this comedy dream full time and go after it. So that's what I did. So I signed on to do this tour. The tour was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Made a little bit of money doing that, you know, nothing to get rich on, that's for sure. But it was, you know, you made a few bucks and whatever. But then I come back and I realize, okay, well, now I'm a full-time comedian. I don't have this day job to go to every single day. I just have nothing but time on my hands. I can write jokes now, I guess. There's no excuses. I can be all in 110%. Like, I'm a comic. This is it. I'm going after it. I'm going to chase this thing, you know, no excuses. Here we go. So I had an agent at the time who was representing me and getting me gigs and doing a pretty good job, getting me some work. And I go visit her and I say, guess what? Guess what your boy did? Your boy quit his day job. He's all in on the stand-up comedy. All right? I'm going after it. Okay? You guys been supporting me. You've been putting some work on my plate and now I'm ready to go after it. Now I am ready to work. Give me the gigs. Let's go. Let's go. Fill it up. Fill up the schedule. Let's go. Make it happen. She looks at me and says, why would you do that? Why would you leave your full-time job at the beginning of the summer? Everyone knows there's no comedy in the summer. There's hardly any gigs at all in the summer. We can't fill up your schedule in the summer with gigs. Like that's in the fall. Yeah, work starts to thicken up and there's more stuff going on. But it's summer. Why would you quit your job at the beginning of the summer? I got to tell you something. As a person who just quit their job to become a full-time comedian, that is not what you want to hear from your agent. You would like to hear, oh my God, thank God. Oh, here we go. We got gigs lined up for you. We got, oh my God, here we're going to have a party. There's going to be streamers. There's going to be a parade. No. No parade. There was just, you're an idiot, basically. Why wouldn't you talk to us first before you decided to quit? Who quits their job? He quit his job. Why would he quit his job? Trent, what are you? So then I was hooped. Like I went, oh my God, what have I done? And that was the roughest summer. Probably the roughest summer of my life because I had no money. I had no money to do anything. I would barely have enough money to put gas in my car. It was like, what have I done? I walked away from a steady paying job, RSPs, some benefits, some room to kind of move up if I was willing to stay and kind of keep working hard. I liked who I worked with. It was fun. And here I am now sitting in a place in downtown Calgary with no money and no gigs. I'm a full-time comedian. I ain't got a gig on the calendar. Nothing. The tour's already passed. That's it. And I thought at that time, like, I have messed this up big time. Like, this was, I'm an idiot. And I don't know. I just managed to scrape by that summer, June, July, August. And then in September, some gigs started to roll in. I started to get, the calendar started to fill up a little bit. And I started to realize, like, okay, like, this is a good thing now. Like, I can actually start doing some stuff. But that gap of, say, 90 days where I was like, oh, there's nothing lined up, was terrifying. And I'll be honest, it was pretty depressing too, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a moment in your life where you made a decision. You thought like, oh God, I made the wrong one. This is, how do I reverse this? What do I do? And so it was a pretty hard moment. But I think the thing I learned in that time is that when you go through transition, there will be a ton of bumps and rough times. It's not necessarily smooth sailing. Even if you choose the thing that you're supposed to choose and that you know you're supposed to choose, that transition can still be really, really tough. And it's not meant to be taken as, oh, you've made the wrong decision, you should go back to what you're doing. It's just a test to see how bad do you want this thing you say you want. You say you want to become a comedian full time. You want to chase this thing? All right. Let's see. Let's see how bad you want it. And I think that was a lesson that I learned in that moment, that it doesn't just happen for you because, you know, you say you're committed now, or you've made some move that suddenly now things will just fall into place. They don't necessarily work that way. You know, it takes longer. It takes longer than you think it's going to take. It almost always does take longer than you think it's going to take. And, as I said, from that moment, once the fall hit, September, October, November, December, I started getting more and more gigs. And then I could kind of really step into being a full-time comedian. I could travel to do shows and stuff. And it started to work out for me. But it was a very, very uncertain time. And so I think about often about people who have chosen something. Maybe you've chosen to move to a new city, or you've decided to get out of a relationship and be single, or go into a new relationship, and you're at a rocky period with that transition, and you can start to second guess what you've chosen. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you made the wrong choice. And I think about that all the time now when I make other choices in life, is that like that initial transition may be tough and weird, but to not panic in that moment, to trust that you will figure it out. You will find a way to make it work. If you truly feel this is the thing you're supposed to do, you will find a way to figure it out. And, I luckily figured it out, you know, so that was a major turning point in my life. And it doesn't mean, you know, people often say, well, I used to have comics tell me all the time, like, you know, oh man, you know, if you want to be a comic, you got to quit your day job and you got to be all in. And I get what they're saying. There's some truth to that adage of, you know, take the shore, burn the boats, you know, the adage of, you know, if you have a backup plan, will that kind of set yourself up for failure because you're already kind of got a foot half out the door because you got this other backup plan? But I don't really know if that's true. I think we all have to make decisions that are best for us in the moment. I don't think there's anything wrong with tiptoeing to your dream, putting a toe in the water, feeling the water out a little bit first, then maybe putting a full leg in the water. I don't necessarily know if you need to jump in wholeheartedly all the time. You know, people's finances are different. You may have, your life could just be different. You may have people who depend on you for money, whether it's like you're married, you have kids or whatever. Like, people have different family situations. So there's no right way to do it. I just know the way I chose to do it was put a toe in, and then fully I was like, all right, I'm going to jump in the water. And it was ice cold, and I hit the bottom first. And then was able to figure it out. But if you're out there and you're, you know, you're unsure about a decision, I think it's a good thing to kind of put a toe in the water, test it a little bit, see how it works for a while. Have a plan so you can transition as easily as you can into that next thing, and trust that it might not be smooth sailing off the top, and that that's okay. You don't need to panic. You don't need to beat yourself up and think you made the wrong choice, because sometimes it just takes time for it all to come about. But that was a big moment for me. You know, as I said, getting on stage the first time was, you know, opened up a whole new world for me. But that moment of choosing to do stand-up comedy full-time was monumental and terrifying at the same time. And it's funny how some of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life, or the most influential decisions you'll make in your life, quite often are terrifying in the moment. Absolutely terrifying. They're not necessarily easy, you know, just because it's what you were meant to do. It doesn't feel easy. It can be very, very stressful. So that's how I decided to become a comedian full time. And thank God it worked out. And I'm still doing comedy now and the podcast, and this hour is 22 minutes, and it's just been an amazing ride. So it's, I often think about that moment and what would have happened if I had not have taken that tour? What would have happened if I said, nah, I'm not going to take the tour. I'm just going to stay and keep working my day job and keep just gigging on weekends and see how it goes. Who knows? Who knows what might have happened? Maybe it would have unfolded the same, maybe not, but I'm grateful that I made that decision that day, and the gigs did start to come and my calendar did start to fill up after that. So for you out there, keep the faith. If you've made a change and it's rocky right now, stick to your guns. If you feel in your heart this is what you're supposed to do, then also trust that you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. And things will swing in your favor at some point. Try not to get discouraged. Try not to panic. And try and find some positive folks out there who can support you in what you're doing and help you a little bit along the way. And if you can do those things, I think you get there. I think if you work hard enough, you commit, you keep going, you know, you try and be smart and learn from your mistakes, I think you get there at the end of the day. So, yeah, that's my story about how I became a comedian full time with me, Trent McClellan. Anyway, that's this week's episode. Little short story for you. Going to put more of these in, I think, into the mix in future episodes. And again, thanks as always for listening. And I appreciate your support. And hopefully I'll see you at a live show one of these days down the road, you know, when that thing becomes a thing we can do again in the world. And yeah, hope you're well. Have a fantastic week. And yeah, I'll see you next time on Generators. Bye-bye.